episode 312, July 31st, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So I was watching an Ed Sheeran video the other day, Joe, and it just took me out of it. I kept thinking about dragons and Jon Snow, Littlefinger. I can't watch Ed Sheeran sing anymore. I just go right into the Game of Thrones universe.
I have yet to see the newest episode of Game of Thrones, but I know better than to look on social media. We got a good story to tell about a friend of the show, Tommy Simbazo. Actually, he's filled in for me when I've been out. Maybe that's something we should open up with, Rob.
I think so, because we love Tommy, and he's a very funny guy. A sweet, nice guy, great friend. But there's a dark side. There's a little crazy inside of him.
I think every single person that we told the story to thought he was out of line.
So, as you know, Game of Thrones is probably the most popular show in the social media world. One that's talked about the most, posted about the most. And if you go on, as the show's happening, go on Facebook, Twitter, or right after, you're bound to see read some spoilers. And Tommy took offense to what somebody said. And by the way, I'm going to say exactly what this person posted, because in my opinion, it's not a spoil at all. And even if you think it is, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 1.
Oh, it's way down there.
Yeah. She posted one word. And if you don't know the show, it won't mean anything to you. Even if you know the show, it's not going to spoil anything. Unsullied.
With a question mark.
Right. So I'll go ahead and say it doesn't spoil anything. All right. These are characters on the show. So maybe it might let you know that something happens on that show, but something happens to somebody every show. And by the way, something happened just means they could be featured in the show. It doesn't mean anything good or bad. It's not a spoiler.
You also have a little bit of skin in the game where that on social media, people are going to post things about the show after the show is aired. Like for me, I won't go on to Twitter and read through my news feed because I haven't seen the episode yet. I don't want being spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you typed, love Tony Sopranos, did you spoil something from that episode? I don't think that you did.
Well, so, in Tommy's defense, he said that allowed him to figure out something that happened, which I guess it did happen, but you don't know anything about context. You know nothing about where we are. And also, this was a direction that the show was going. It really gave away a very, very, very tiny amount, and he at least owned 70% of seeing that.
Yes. So Tommy, a day or two later, sees this girl, this friend of his on Facebook, says she's about to go see the movie Girls Trip. The movie, the stars Tiffany Haddish, friend of Rob Mayer, by the way. Jada Pinkett, Queen Latifah, very huge comedy, big hit, a great opening weekend, great reviews. And so he goes on a website that spoils movies, and he finds out what happens in the third act of this movie.
The climax, and you know, basically the payoff of the movie.
The payoff, and he goes and he posts under her post about going to that movie, "Well, enjoy this," and he types exactly what happens.
He cuts and pastes it directly from the site.
And she goes, what's this about? He goes, "Well, I hope you enjoy the movie because you spoiled Game of Thrones for me." And then he unfriends her and blocks her.
So I mean, that's types one vague word. He then posts the end of a movie that she says she wants to see and then does not give her a chance to respond.
Because I had posted something about that exact same episode, and mine. I mean, if he considers what she said a spoiler, then mine was a huge spoiler. And he actually was arguing with me, you know, on Facebook about it. But since we're friends, you know, he didn't try to murder me. But I imagine if I was, the same level of friendship that he is with this woman, I mean, it would have been World War III. He'd have gone 9 in on me or something.
We talk about the people that we wouldn't want mad at us in our circle of friends. And I believe him to be number one, even more so than Jeremy Woodworth. And that's because I already know what he's capable of.
Yes.
He doesn't say, "Well, I better not do that." He does it and then says, "Hey, was this wrong?"
And we have some people like Eric and Justin that are, you know, a little wild and crazy, but they have kids now. I mean, they have things to lose. Not that Tommy doesn't, but he doesn't have a family.
In chat, somebody named Michael Wright hates Rob.
Michelle Wright.
Oh, Michelle. I see. It's yes. Had to squeeze it in there. I gotcha. It says, "Good for Tommy. She's a cunt." That's what it does. Does this person know this person that Tommy was battling with on Facebook?
I don't know. He never mentioned. We can't. He's not. She's not on his friend list anymore. So we'll have to ask Tommy. Although I don't. You know, I would like to have her on the show. I think that would be a good idea.
You know, we say that, Robbie, last week we talked about having that guy who wrote that shitty article about Rob on the show.
Yes.
Did you reach out to him?
I was waiting for Rob to send me the info.
That's on me. I did not send Robbie the info. So
Come on, Rob. Now I'm going to ruin every movie for you that you ever go to see.
What if somebody did really, like, you haven't seen this past, you know, Sunday night's Game of Thrones. But you kind of know by going on Twitter, you're not on Facebook, but you do tweet now. By going on Twitter, you are opening yourself up to seeing something. But if you see something, don't you kind of think that's on you?
100%. I don't read anything that would even allude to anything that's happened until I've seen it. But I will also say this. If, let's say, for example, you know, Eric Woodworth, another person who's filled in for me on this show, if he just fucking with me spoiled it on purpose to try to be hilarious, I'd be annoyed, but I would also laugh at that.
Yeah.
But if, let's say, for example, Dan Ninen did that, I'd be furious. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You earn the right to do that based on your relationship. I'm sure that just like you said, you were able to spoil something for Tommy based on your friendship with him. This girl obviously wasn't. But here's the thing, you know, there is a level of crossing him that if you get to, something horrible can happen to you. Not that this is the end all be all, but it is a shitty thing to do. And Tommy's told us stories of things that are much, much worse than this.
Well, you have to, you're fighting for your life. Who do you least want to fight in our circle?
Definitely Tommy, because like Eric, you wouldn't want to fight him either, Eric Woodworth, but he won't beat you to death.
He'll just choke you out.
Well, he'll stop. He'll be like, "Oh, I won. It's over." Like, you know, Tommy, he's got this rage in him.
Curb stomping.
But so, I think I do get away with a lot with Tommy. He told me the story. I don't want to go through the details of him, but it's a very personal story about the movie John Carter. And when I was scrolling through my the guide on my television. I saw that that movie was on, and I took a picture of it and sent it to him.
Yeah, you sent that to me as well, and I had no idea what you were talking about.
Well, I just didn't feel like searching for just him since you, him, and I had just been texting.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Welcome to the show. A shout out to Jim Amato. He really been pushing the show hard on Twitter and Facebook, posting about it. He's really making a run at the Mount Rushmore. I gotta say that. He's going for it.
Well, who do we kick off? You can't kick off Gramps. You can't kick off Mac. You can't kick off Eric the Actor.
Well, unlike the actual Mount Rushmore, there's no faces carved into a mountain. So I think we can have, we can every year we can re-examine it.
Oh, I thought you meant you were going to add a fifth, and I'm going to go, well, that's cowardly.
No, it's we four, cannot add a fifth.
Only four.
No. Are we almost due for Max, rankings? It's been a few months, right?
Yeah, we're close, I think.
All right. Well, Mac, I want something in, because I don't think he's quite doing it quarterly at this point, but maybe if we can get one in August and then one at the end of the year. Is that fair?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Another thing that we had talked about last show, Robbie, now the first one was Rob's fault, but remember we wanted to play Mac in Rob and Joe trivia. Mm-hmm. Did you reach out to anybody regarding that?
Did you notice how long it took them to get the bonus show out?
No, we didn't notice.
Nope, didn't notice at all.
Yeah, I am swamped right now.
Okay,
what are you up to? What's going on?
It's one, give us the
my
breakdown.
Real job.
This doesn't pay you enough? Murder Mystery and Robin Joe Show? The other thing we talked about was having you read news headlines and Joe and I coming up with wacky zingers. Have you prepared that for today's show?
I did give it some thought, but no, of course I haven't prepared it.
All right. Where did
Don't you have anything about this guy Salta Lamacchia getting fired? Do you have anything new story about that? How bad is it when I read these things? I don't even know who these people are. I keep reading Jeff Sessions. I don't know who that is. I don't know who these people are. I don't know.
You really don't know who Jeff Sessions is, Jeff?
No, I don't know who he is. Who is he?
He's the Attorney General.
Yeah. That I knew that. Now this Scaramucci guy, I was really proud of myself because I avoided learning anything about him, and now that appears to have been a wise choice. So this information that people have that they learned about him and now that it's useless, I never had to worry about that. Never bogged down with Scaramucci stuff.
I hate when shit like this happens. Not because I'm worried about the country or I'm worried about this administration. I don't know enough to worry. But I don't feel like fucking reading about it for the next 9 weeks. You know what I mean? I don't. Although I guess it doesn't matter. Something else is going to happen. It just, I don't, there are people that I love like J.L. Covan that I would never block, but I'm just like, enough. All right. I got it. You hate Trump. I get it. I understand. A lot of people do. I don't know what to do with 9,000 tweets about it. I just don't know what to do with that information. Yes, he sucks. Now what? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Some people have, it's consuming them. You know, imagine you got into comedy, 10 years ago, and you fast forward, and this isn't JL so much, but there are people that do this, that 99% of their tweets are about Trump. Like, this is what your career's turned into. I mean, that doesn't seem healthy.
Well, no, I assume that some people, and you said it's not JL. Geez, it's a lot. It's about 70%.
He's gotten more over. Yeah, I wish you. You know, I'm more. I like it when he just bashes female comedians. That's my favorite JL go to. Yeah.
Well, I don't. I mean, maybe he feels it's a civic responsibility. Okay, I mean, I can't really tell people what they feel their duty is, and if that's important to them, so much so that every single tweet has to be about it. Okay, I'm not going to tell him what should or shouldn't be important to him. I'm just saying this shit gets fucking boring. That's all.
Well,
I'm so tired of it.
You're basically tweeting, to the choir. You know, you're not the most of the people that are following you either don't care or agree with everything you're saying.
Well, Joe, a little bit of responsibility is on you, just like you were saying about Tommy. I mean, just don't read social media. We have somebody very close to us. We have somebody very close to us, Joe, who quit Facebook altogether.
Yeah, me.
Joe.
No, beside you.
Who? You?
Gramps' wife.
Yeah. No, I know that. That's, again, that's not the point. The point is, he gets to do, he or anyone, they get to do whatever they want. They get, to, I'm just saying, if they, I don't like to consume that. So
you
if
don't
they
have
are
to.
Trying, I'm not going to block people that I care about and that I think are funny. I'm not going to do that.
Just don't read.
I'm just
going
to be annoyed. I'm just going to be annoyed that I have to keep reading the same shit over and over and over again. I get it. Trump sucks. I get it. I understand that he sucks. In 3.5 years, we can fix it. But right now, what are you going to do? What do you think is, what are you accomplishing? I mean, maybe it's cathartic for him. I don't know. I'm not mad.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Just do whatever you need. You feel like you need to do. I'm just saying I can't. It's just enough. I can't take it anymore. Actually, I can. I'm not. What Robbie is suggesting, I'm not going to do.
I only see tweets that Rob and Joe Show or myself are tagged in. I only tweet out. I don't consume what's coming in.
No, you're right. Because, and also, I don't think Twitter, especially, I don't think it reflects the real world. It's not. You know, Twitter is just a cesspool of angriness, and I don't think that everyday people are that. You can't really say anything on Twitter without getting someone to take issue with what you're saying. You couldn't. It's just hate. No matter, there's no side to it. Everybody's just angry and pissed.
Well, you understand that what you, the sides, and this is no reflection on JL. I know we've been talking about it, but there's such hypocrisy on both sides at what the right is accusing the left of, what the left is accusing the right of, they're both doing. You know what I mean? There is no such thing as just regular discourse anymore. Tweeting is the way that this is how we debate now, trying to say something clever and hilarious while shitting on that which we don't agree with, would be funny in these small doses. Seriously, if I saw these things in small doses, I'd be like, well, that's pretty funny.
Well, I watched The Keepers, as did you. And, you know, I saw two ladies in their 70s. You know, bothered their whole life by this nun that got murdered, and then these Catholic priests sexually assaulting girls, and they decided that they would start a Facebook page and investigate it themselves and interview people and track it down. And now that murder isn't being investigated. So, you know, maybe there's something you can do more to get Trump out of office or to fix these, you know, horrible things that are happening.
Well, don't say
just
that.
Wacky tweet.
Now
no, I'm
gonna,
saying.
Oh, I say, well, now I'm we're going to get even more tweets.
No, not tweet. They didn't. No, you don't miss. You're missing the point. They knocked on doors. They did things. They went to the library and dug up records. They did foot, you know, they grassroots.
So
boots
you're
on
saying,
the ground.
So you're saying JL should go knock on doors and read his tweets to whoever answers?
I'm saying if we all agree, let's just say that Trump is bad for the country, but because of his things he's going to do economically that might be bad in the long run, we'll have a short-term gain for the economy. If you invest money in the stock market and you make money on your 401k or whatever you have, and the stock market, then you put all that money that you profit because of him and then put it towards the issues that he has made worse, the country would be a better place.
Wow, that's a lot of work. Nobody's going to do
it. Okay, I know that. Nobody's going to do about it, which is that's my point. You can do something about this, but you're not. You're just going to tweet and say Facebook things. But I love JL, so keep tweeting.
Well, JL's different. He's also making videos.
Well, he's trying to make money off of his off his amazing Trump impersonation, which he should be famous for, but he's not because, you know, comedy fucking sucks.
JL's passionate, but he can't be lumped in with some of these other people.
Oh, no. He's the good one of those people. Put that way. That sounded so fucking shitty. Whatever. We love you, JL. Rob and Joe should be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life. Sing for your life. Sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murderer. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life.
It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, August 11th and 12th at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
So I guess we should have made a bigger deal out of this, Joe, but you returned to the stand-up comedy stage for the first time in, has it been a year almost, maybe?
Yeah, it's been about a year. I think the last time I was on stage was when I did that show on the Eastern Shore that, you know, it was a basically a bar, and I was performing in about a, from the bar to the wall, there was about a 5-foot area I was performing in that. That's also where people needed to go to get in and out of the bar. And then the bar was basically like a T. Like if you're looking at the letter T, I'm the line, the bottom of the T, and then the bar is the top of the T, and that's what I performed to. So the last time I performed, but I was getting on stage, and it is a lot of goodwill when you do these 98 Rock shows because, you know, they're all 98 Rock fans and they're excited to see you. So I just
thought it's at the Baltimore County Factory where we're going to be doing our Singing for Life murder mystery August 11th and 12th.
11th and 12th. That's right. Three shows. Anyway, so I wrote all new material. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do new material. It's going to be a lot about the morning show. It's going to be a lot about me having a young girlfriend. So I started doing my set, and I was doing very well. Okay. Everybody's loving it. I'm making these references. And there was a black guy in the crowd. Now, if you know, the 98 Rock, it's the demo is basically blue collar white people. I mean, 98 Rock, and I said this on stage, it's not Baltimore. It's not Baltimore. Right. It's Glen Burnie and Edgewood and Dundalk. And if you're not from this area, you know, Essex. It's basically the white trash suburbs around Baltimore.
Right.
You know, and then these people go to Baltimore to watch Ravens games, and then they leave and they go back and hang out in their garage. That's what the real 98 Rock audience is. So I'm talking about how cool it was that this black guy was there, especially surrounded by all these rednecks, right? And how brave it was. And I'm like, well, you know, this guy likes what he likes. He likes Puddle of Mud and he likes fart sound effects. That was the first thing I said, right? Then I go, he likes Theory of a Dead Man and he likes, you know, old sports guys, you know, or well, I can't remember what I said, but I was making fun of Keith Mills, right? And the audience is laughing. Then I make a reference to something that Keith had done. It's some demons that haunt him. He had like an addiction issue and it was very public. And I started joking about that. And the audience was giving me a little bit of like, oh, and I'm like, they did a news story about it. It said, people know this is a secret. So I'm getting this goodwill, making references specifically to things on the show. And then this one guy, very loud, makes some, I don't remember if it was a groan or a laugh or whatever. And I literally go over and go, well, that's Keith Mills' dad. Now, Keith Mills' dad was beloved. He was a beloved newsman in this area, and he had just died. Okay? So just died. Now, by the way, I would have made that joke about anybody.
Okay. He died like 3 months ago. But
Right. But that's it was very fresh in the minds of all these people because it was a big deal. This guy was revered. He was loved. There was a big thing to do about it on the air. But my first reaction when I'm talking about somebody and I get a big reaction from somebody in there, I say, that's the guy's dad. That's the guy's mom. That's the guy's wife. Whatever. Yeah. It's just an easy
it
laugh.
Slipped your mind. I didn't even think
about it. As soon as I say that, the audience is like, oh, that's what this guy's doing. That's the kind of comic he is. Right. And they turn on me. Now, I had them. They turn on me. So what do? I go right into my, I chicken out at that point. I go directly into my old material that I already know is working, but I felt like I had already done my time. I was supposed to do 10 minutes.
Well, you can't close on that though. I'm just,
no, I did. Yeah. I didn't close on Keith Mills' dead dad.
Did you apologize and explain yourself?
I swear right from stage. I go, oh my God, listen, I had forgotten all about that. But yes, right on stage. I did. Katie says nobody noticed that. No, she's just being nice. They noticed. Believe me, they noticed that. They literally thought I was. I'm the meanest person alive, right?
Right.
So then I start going to my regular act, which I don't want to do because it's a 98 Rock crowd. They've probably seen that act 50 times, but I start getting them back a little bit. And then I get off stage. I go, wow, it just, maybe it's because I made that mistake. You know how once you fuck up, you feel like you're up there so much longer. I get off stage. The guy who's running the light, we probably mentioned him on this show before, CJ Burney. He lights me at 18 minutes. Now you realize if he lit me appropriately, I never would have been in that mess.
Yeah. But so you're blaming CJ Burney on your screen.
Well, I mean, my thing is that I'm supposed to do 10. I wasn't even lit at 12, 13, 15. I was lit at 8. I did 19 minutes. So as soon as I got off stage, I was a little annoyed because if he had lit me appropriately, I would have just done great, gotten off stage, everything would have been fine. But then the next person that followed me, Wendy Townsend, she did 15 minutes. She was supposed to do 25. And I'm like, did he light her? I didn't understand what
you
it just
cut
happened.
Into her time, Joe.
Believe me, I didn't want to. I would have loved to have left out the Keith Mills dead dad reference. I would have loved to have done that if it was possible for that to happen. But you know what I did, which I do? I don't know how this is going to sound. I usually have good sets, especially in that type of environment.
Yes.
And also, but because of my, I'm still an insecure person. So every time I have a good set, I like to wait out by the door so people can tell me how funny I am. That's what I like to do. And when I think I didn't do well, I hide or leave. And I hid this time. I did not say anything to anyone. Once I made that mistake, I hid.
Wait a minute. You're supposed to be handing out flyers.
No, no, no. It's funny because from the stage, even after that, I said, hey, we're going to be back here with Justin Schlegel, Rob Mayer, Tommy Cimbazzo, Eric Woodworth, Kim Ambrose, whatever. We're going to be here August 11th and 12th. Sing for Your Life. Justin is the star of the show. Blah, blah, blah. Come out, guys. It's so hilarious. How many have been to one of these murder mysteries? I literally do that after.
We're going to solve Keith Mills' dad's murder.
After they love me, then hate me, and then kind of are okay with me, that's when I plug it. But Justin plugged it hard as well. So and he destroyed. So either way, we're good.
Yeah, I ended up doing the second show, and I feel like you were on the much better show in terms of a raucous, energetic crowd and full crowd, because mine wasn't that. But I don't – CJ Burney, he didn't light me. I just got off. I mean, I think I did like 12 of my 10, but
– but it's so – it was so bad because we had already – by the way, it's not complicated. 10, 25, 50 to an hour. That's the show. That's it. It's not hard to figure out. We're going to do 90 minutes. We're going to leave. That's it. And what happened was we went ahead and I said to CJ, light me and I'll get right off. And then Justin said, hey, we're going to daisy chain it. You're going to bring up Wendy.
Right.
Wendy's going to bring you up. Well, I do my 19 minutes. Wendy does her time. I guess CJ lit her early and lit me 10 minutes late and lit her 10 minutes early. I guess it all works out, right?
Yeah.
But Wendy's standing up there and she's like, well, what do I do now, Joe? Literally from the stage. I don't want these people to see me again. I'm the guy that just made fun of somebody's dead dad, right? So I'm literally standing up from the back going, bring up Justin. You know, bring him up. Bring him up. It's so awkward, right? So then... another guy who's a regular at the factory, Alabama, walks up. No lie. Another comic who's not even on the show walks up and brings up Justin. I'm not kidding. So afterwards, I walk over to Wendy. I say, hey, Wendy, I go, Justin told me that I was going to bring you up and you were going to bring him up. She goes, well, is somebody going to tell Rob that during the next show? So she's mad at me. I'm like, listen, somebody told me that was happening. Why are you mad at me? If you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at Justin. He was the one that didn't tell you. And also, no, I'm not going to tell Rob. I'm not even going to see Rob. Meanwhile, I did see you. But no, I'm not going to tell him. And by the way, she could just as easily as told you. You know what I mean? Hey, even if she thought it was my fuck up, she could have said, Joe fucked up the last show. So, or just no to bring up Justin. You know what I mean? Either way, she was mad.
Well,
which
somebody
I
told
did
me.
If it was my fault. Yeah, of course. So it was definitely not my screw up, but people were out to get me.
Yeah, I did have one moment in my set that it really cracked me up. I don't, the crowd was fine, but this is something that just really made me laugh. That, you know, I was telling this joke about, you know, marriage has bad publicity, and if marriage was on Yelp, you know, you would never, you know, eat at that restaurant. And somebody, and I started talking about, you know, marrying your job or something. Some lady said she would marry her job, that she loved it so much. I go, where do you work? She goes, I work for IKEA. And so then I'm just like, you know, oh, you're fucking IKEA every night. Yeah, I'm just, you know, all these IKEA references about not being able to put things together. I'm like, you love your job that much? Yeah.
You would definitely think it was a better job than IKEA. By the way, right. You can't be making $100,000 at this job. I mean, the highest paid employee at IKEA is making $25,000 a year.
Right. It can't be a job, a passion job. It can't be a passion project.
You love selling tables named Rolf. You love that. Yeah. Right?
You love the meatballs. It was weird. But we did do some good promotion, and Justin was hilarious as always for the murder mystery, because we will be doing it right there in that very room again. BaltimoreComedy.com or DieLaughingProductions.com. And, you know, we do this show, and it's a singing American Idol parody. And one of our female actors, actresses in this show, Frankie French, who plays the sex therapist by day, singer by night. She's a very good singer, does a great job, but she cannot make these shows.
She has a dental appointment?
No, she actually has a better gig. She's got some NBC for Diversity showcase in Philadelphia at Helium. So she can't do it. So we need a female to take over. And we are going to have one Katie, girlfriend of Joe Robinson. Katie will be in our murder mystery singing.
Hey, Katie. Are you nervous?
So she probably will be nervous. She's not a performer.
Are you nervous?
I'm not. Here's the deal. She is a fucking great singer. You guys will see that. I mean, she's really, really good. And she's also picking songs in her wheelhouse.
Sure.
I also like that, you know, normally Katie works for free, so it's going to be nice to have some, you know, get her some cash, right? But here's the deal. She is going to be nervous because I don't know that she's ever been on stage in front of people. I don't know. But if she has the confidence that she deserves to have based on her ability to sing, also she's really funny and quick. So, you know, if she just follows the script and sings as well as she can, she's going to be awesome.
Robbie, as someone who's, you know, knows our show and our product quite well, what do you think about this?
I think Katie would be a natural.
There you go.
But you know, it's funny because performing is about confidence. It is.
Yes.
I remember when Kim Ambrose, who plays Mama July in our show, I remember some of the early shows she wasn't confident, and it affected her singing. And then as she decided to kind of work with this character into some other things and she became more comfortable, now she's one of the highlights of the show. Does that make sense? Yeah.
No, so, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's going to be the thing. If she knows what she's capable of doing, she's going to kill it. She's going to be fine either way. But if she could really be outstanding, but it is a confidence thing. It's almost like when I was doing this new material, I kept saying it to the point where you almost think it's not funny anymore, because you want to know it so well that it liberates you to kind of step outside of it. You're not uncomfortable about remembering everything that you're going to say. And once you're comfortable, then you can find other ways to be funny.
Is she going to sex it up with the outfit?
Well, I think she has to, right? Because no matter what, even if she's nervous, she's going to be beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's really going to work well with the audience too. She's a sex therapist in the production. So, you know, we're going to make her look like a doctor a little bit, but like a sexy doctor. You know what I mean? She'll have like glasses on or whatever. You know how they do the librarian where they take their glasses off and shake their hair around, and all of a sudden, now instead of a librarian, they're a porn star. Something to that effect. But, you know, I mean, you see it coming a mile away, but this is more of a melodramatic than it is dramatic. So,
do you think Tommy Cimbazzo is angry that we're spoiling some of the show now?
He might be. I hope. I hope he doesn't ruin the end of Dunkirk for me.
So we have a guy that does the karaoke / sound guy for this show. He's a DJ karaoke guy by trade. And you, in an attempted to explain to him the changes that we're doing for this, and it seemed like he wasn't really understanding.
So I don't know exactly what he was insinuating, because Katie and I kind of disagreed on what he was implying, but he was implying one of two things when I told him Frankie couldn't make it and Katie was replacing her. He said either A, I can play that role, meaning the guy who does the karaoke is going to step out from behind the karaoke unit and play a female sex therapist.
Or it didn't. I mean, Roz. Yeah, that's the name. I don't know how else to, like, Roosevelt. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely written for a female.
Well, I maybe, because that was what Katie thought. What I thought he said he was going to do was go up there and do the finale, which would be equally as weird, right?
Yes.
We have all these characters. We've established them over the entire show. And all of a sudden, he's going to play Uptown Funk and then walk out from behind there. And now some guy in shorts and glasses and a baseball cap who nobody's ever met before, nobody knows, is going to sing this final song.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I was trying to be, you know, like, I go, well, that would make zero sense, dude. No, you're not going to walk. You have a specific role. You wouldn't, you understand, when you're watching, you know, Seinfeld, Kramer doesn't start acting like Elaine. It makes no sense. You just stay there and play music. That's what you're supposed to do. If you stop doing that, who's going to play the music? Do you understand? That's your job. Your job is to play the music. We can't have you also, you know, parking cars. That you have to be where you need to be in order to do your job. Yes,
as Robbie would put it, it would take you out of the scene
in
Ed Sheeran fashion. Yes.
Robbie, what's worse? Tell me, and I'm honestly, you've seen Sing for Your Life. I know you didn't like it because you had a little personal issue going there, but let's say you were able to remove yourself from that. And would you be more distracted by Ed Sheeran singing a song in Game of Thrones or John Coulter, the sound guy, coming out and doing the finale of Sing for Your Life?
I think I would enjoy seeing John Coulter play a female do the finale, but more play a female. That would be very funny to me.
Okay. No.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That's your idea. Okay. No more. You are no longer involved in the creative content of any of these shows.
Listen, you ask me between the two, which, relatively speaking, I'm just saying that one is more interesting to me than seeing Ed Sheeran pop up in Game of Thrones.
Okay. Maybe we're wrong. Robbie wants him to be Dr. Roz.
I didn't say that. You asked me. You gave me two choices.
Okay. Do you think it's funnier to have him dress up like a woman and sing, or a good female singer sing? What's better for the show?
Well, if that's the two choices, then I'm going to pick a good female singer, preferably nice-looking female.
Robbie, would you rather have sex with Kate Upton or a dead body?
Kate Upton.
Would you rather you dress up like a woman and sing Bad Touch or John Coulter?
John Coulter.
Because, see, I'd rather have you do it, because then you get to sing Bad Touch as Dr. Roosevelt. Dr. Rob. No, it's a horrible idea. It's a female. Okay. I know our shows are silly, but American Idol, the female singers are not male impersonators impersonating a woman. It's an actual female.
Yes,
it's
this Carrie, isn't Carrie RuPaul, Underwood, okay? Right? It's a drag race. Yes. Right. This is something different. Also, the idea is that she's a sex therapist. There's something supposed to be sexy about that.
Yes.
I mean, no offense to John Coulter, I don't find him very sexy. That's all.
As a man or a woman, but definitely not as a woman. But we'll get it all figured out. I hope. We have some new shows to announce. We're going to be back at the Ramshead in Annapolis doing our Halloween whodunit literally on Halloween, October 31st. So
October 31st.
Yeah.
And also we have the before mentioned Jeremy Woodworth is taking on a little bit larger role.
Yeah, which I think is a horrible idea, but we'll get to that when we get closer. Robbie,
I'm already scared.
Yeah, well, it's scary. Yeah, we're going to be terrified during the Halloween one, not necessarily because of how scary it is, but what
can I do. Can I just real quick, I just want to talk about, we've mentioned Jeremy Woodworth on the show many, many a time. But what I really wanted to do when I was going to ask Jeremy to take on a little bit of a larger role in this one, I wanted to kind of walk him through what he would need to do, make sure I had him, you know, bought in. He said to me, he goes, oh, okay, I'll try to do it, but that's when Chiller Fest is. Let me just check my calendar. Now, are you familiar with Chiller Fest, Chiller Theater?
I've heard of it.
It's some sort of like horror, I guess, convention. You know, convention of some kind. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you who's, I'm going to give you the top billing. These are the people that are going to be at Chiller Fest. I think it just might just be called Chiller. Okay. Okay. Robbie, you're going to appreciate these a little bit more than Rob, I think, but Mike Nesmith of the Monkees, he's the top celebrity there. Three people from the cast of Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, only people my brother's age and older will even know what that is. That was a primetime comedy soap opera. It's where Billy Crystal got his art. Sorry about that. I have my phone near my
soap.
Oh, sorry about that. Either way, some shitty show. Anyway, how about this? Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow. Do you know who those are, Rob? Not Rob.
That I know. That's big. That's Leave It to Beaver. That's Leave huge. It to Beaver.
Good job, Rob.
Thank you.
How about from Charles in Charge and also Eight Is Enough, Willie Ames?
Good pull. Very busy man these days.
From the I Love Lucy show, Robbie, you want to take a guess?
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Little Ricky, correct. Nicely done.
What?
Now, this is going
to
be.
I don't understand the horror tie in to the Chiller Fest here.
You give it time.
Okay.
We're getting down there to where people who are actually in some horror projects. But Robbie's going to like this one. So, Robbie, three people from Land of the Lost. Now, Land of the Lost is a show my brother and I used to watch every Saturday morning. Can you name the three characters that are going to be there?
Marshall,
name one
Will,
at a time.
And Holly.
Well, no, not exactly. So, sorry about that. Marshall's not going to be there. He's probably
dead.
It says Will Marshall, which is kind of weird because there was Marshall, Will, and Holly with one of them named Will Marshall. Either way, Holly's going to be there. Will Marshall, again, I don't know which one that is, and also not one of the two other guys, Chaka is going to be there.
That's
he was a
my next guess.
Caveman type of thing. So anyway, well, hold on a second. Diane Cannon's going to be there.
What?
That's right.
Nice.
Melissa Manchester. Robbie, you just were mentioning the other day. What song did she sing?
Midnight Blue, and You Should Hear How She Talks About You.
Correct.
So you're telling me that Jeremy Woodworth is going to be walking around in his Pogo the Horrific Clown outfit next to fucking Leave It to Beaver.
One more before we... the Soup Nazi is also going to be there.
Okay. Now we're talking. Where's the horror angle?
Sorry, guys. Two more if I don't mind. Oh, sorry. Todd Bridges from Different Strokes.
Okay. I need somebody in a friggin' horror movie.
And Willie Tyler and Lester. That's a ventriloquist act.
Ugh. Oh, God.
That's all I can give you guys. There are a few, but from, and I don't know any of these movies, from Creepshow 2, Mike Gornick, the director.
How many people are going to see that guy? That's why they're there.
So here are the people. These aren't even characters in the show. One guy did animation design. Rick Catazone, he's going to be there. Rick Catazone.
Catazone's going to be there?
Have you ever heard of the movie The Burning Reunion?
No.
Well, four characters from that movie are going to be there.
I don't understand. Did somebody actually go up to their booth or whatever, or their table, and get an autograph and ask questions?
Have you ever heard of Night of the Creeps?
No.
Well, Alan Kazer from Night of the Creeps will be there.
Do you think we'll ever get to the point where the graphic designer of Die Laughing Productions, Halloween Whodunit, will be a Chill Fest in 2033?
Why don't we just say, hey, we're willing to make an appearance there?
All right, Robbie, get on that. Had that.
We have to be as famous as a lot of these people, right?
Yeah, we're famous. Yeah, no, sure we are. We're more famous than the key grip on Creepshow 4. I mean, come on.
Diane Cannon, that one kills me. She's been nominated for Oscars.
Yeah, that's sad. She's got to be needing money or something. But I don't. Is this at the Baltimore Convention Center or something?
I don't know where it is, but I do remember Diane Cannon was on Ally McBeal. She was a judge. I remember that. It's the last thing I ever saw her in.
Yeah, we are skewing so old in this episode. Jeez.
Yeah, so, well, some of them, Leave It to Beaver, that was out in the, what, the late 50s? Yeah, that's pretty
old. But at least that's a household, you know, everybody knows that. It's not some obscure reference. But they put up the graphic. Robbie, of course, does our flyers and graphics. And the Rams said, put up the beautiful graphic that you made, the poster for the show. And they added a little cobweb in the top left corner. And Robbie, I believe your quote was this very... Was it presumptuous? Was that the quote?
Yes.
Well, what possible problem could you have with this?
We create our own graphics. We create our own design and promotion for the show. Why are they adding stuff to it? What if Rob, what if you gave them your headshot and they put you in blackface? It's the same thing.
That's not the same. By the way, if you look at the cobweb, it is – there's nothing else – it's not nothing is affected by this cobweb. Literally put up in the top corner.
Yeah, that's not the same thing, Robbie.
I like the cobweb.
I want the cobweb on everything.
Listen, like I said before, I don't really have an issue with the cobweb. Cobweb's fine, but it's like, hey, we can improve your graphic. You know what I mean? It's kind of insulting.
No, and it's not, because they have a graphic design person in-house. I know. So he or she, she has a new show. She goes, oh, a new graphic. She wants something to do. She's like, okay, let me mess with this. It's fun. It's her job.
If I know my Robbie like I think I do, if we said, hey, we like that cobweb, leave it in there, he would change this. I know him. He would put a different cobweb in there. He would not allow
100%
that cobweb to be the cobweb that we use. He would do by the way, it's a great cobweb because it's not symmetrical. It's kind of like a little like chaotic.
Yes, it's so all Mount Rushmore of cobwebs.
It's my favorite cobweb I've ever seen.
I almost want to change the name of the show, the Cobweb Murder Machine.
The Cobweb Whodunit.
So, but Joe's right, isn't he, Robbie? If we said add some cobwebs, you would not just use that cobweb.
I would improve the cobweb.
How would you
improve
it?
It's impossible to improve that. Yeah. That is a perfect cobweb.
I like what you said. It's like a little rough, a little haphazard, off-center, but it's got some loose ends on it. It just needs to be cleaned up just a hair.
Yeah, but I like that one little cobweb is like sticking down. I like that it's not uniform. I like that.
Also, Robbie, you had a problem with them changing our stuff too, Rob.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, who done it? Is it WHO capital DUNIT?
It's funny. As soon as I saw who done it spelled that way, and the way we spell it is WHODUNIT, the first thing I said is, man, I'm pretty sure who done it has two N's in it. So I looked it up. Half the time it's spelled with two N's, half the time it's spelled with one. And then I was like, it's fine if that's the way we're going to spell it.
Hey,
I wouldn't put a capital letter in there.
Joe, within the same graphic, I spell it two different ways.
Why do you do that?
What do you mean?
Because it is spelled two ways.
Oh, see, now I hate that. Why do you do that?
Because
you got to commit to one.
When we named the thing, I don't know why, but we said we did it with one N. And then I realized that we've always spelled it with two N's and that, but I wasn't going to change it at that point.
Wait. Who decided with one N?
When we Rob and I
text, we always say it's an interactive whodunit. We always say that.
Yeah, but I've always thought whodunit was spelled with two N's. But that is weird to have it with two N's in one place and one N in another. By the way, no one's going to notice that.
Yes.
No, I'm telling you right now, no one will ever notice.
That was the main reason.
No, because they're too busy looking at that awesome cobweb. But they also, our line here is that we always say is eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder. And they just put eat, drink, solve a murder.
Yeah.
So there's going to be no laughs. Maybe
why would they take out laugh? It's so strange.
I don't know. Maybe because they heard Jeremy Woodworth as a part of this one, as a more role, a larger role. So they think clearly.
They like to add a cobweb and subtract laughs. I got it.
That's what we're doing. October 31st. Also, debut at the Jam in Java. Beautiful music venue in Vienna, Virginia. And that's going to be November 18th with Back to the 80s. We have Danny Rouillet from 106.7 The Fan, our good friend. He's been on a couple of our shows before. He's going to have a role in it. So check out. That's actually on the website now, jamandjava.com. Big things, lots of shows coming up. DieLaughingProductions.com. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back. Whodunit?
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Thank you, Gramps. Katie's dad, he's been mentioned here on a regular basis. He's becoming one of our more popular little side characters. Is that a good description?
Yeah, yeah. He's a very quirky guy. Maybe not as quirky as Gramps. I did mention that he's now vegan. We talked about that already.
Yes, correct? Ridiculous. Yes.
He watched a Netflix special, and now he's a vegan. And I've seen him. He looks good, actually. I mean, he's lost a bunch of weight. We ate the other day. He got back out of it. He just ate a plate of vegetables. I mean, I guess that's what he's doing now.
Good for him.
But the place where he ate was a Chinese restaurant. And I got, what did I get? Szechuan beef. That's what I got. Katie got beef and broccoli. He, of course, got the vegetables and brown sauce. And then when we brought it to him, he goes, yeah, you know, he goes, last time I was there, I noticed that they don't have delivery. I offered to start delivering food for him. This is a guy with a career. I mean, they have a beautiful house. This guy makes it. He literally went to his local Chinese food place and offered to start delivering for them. Isn't that crazy?
What'd they say?
Well, hold on. Let me jump back a little bit. So I said to Katie, I go, he wasn't really going to do that. And he goes, oh, no, he did. One time when I was in high school, he just started working at the local supermarket. He started working there. He has a regular day job, and he would just be in there, like, you know, butchering food, meat. He just would start sweeping. So they're finally like that, you know, stop. You know, the mom has a great career. He has a great career. And I guess he just gets bored. He starts sweeping at the Shoppers. So they're like, you gotta stop doing this. You know, I mean, I go to high school around here. People can't see that you're at the supermarket. So it's real. He really will start delivering. You know, next thing you know, it's him. He's bringing you your, you know, lo mein.
When you order from a Chinese restaurant delivery, do you want a Chinese person coming to the door?
I don't. Honestly, that doesn't. I definitely want a Chinese person making the food.
Right.
You know, you call me, say what you want. When I go to a Mexican restaurant, I'd like for them to be Mexican. When I go to a Chinese restaurant, I like for them to be Chinese. It's strange because as far as making sushi, only one time in my life have I ever had my sushi made by a non-Asian, and that was at the Fishhead Cantina. They have a black guy that rolls a sushi, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
But also, I think I told you that Katie and I went to a Japanese steakhouse one time, and a white guy was the guy who, you know, did all the trick with the guy and all that stuff. But I wouldn't. I guess I don't really care who brings me my food.
How much money would it take for you to quit your day job and deliver for a Chinese restaurant?
I mean, I would do that for this.
Have you made the same amount of money?
Yes, of course I would. You know what? You know how much easier that is than the job I actually do?
You put a lot of miles on your car.
Oh, my God. Well, the other thing is I'd have to work nights, and the nights is reserved for the murder mystery. So that would be
Let's say you could work 9 to 5.
Yeah. Yes. And for the same money. Yes. You know how many reports I have to do and conference calls with important people
and a bunch of Chinese people just work together. That's your job. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, a low stress. You think about it like this. Like, would you rather, you know, you've never worked in an office, Rob. I mean, you know, when you have to go and all of a sudden you're talking to the, you know, the president of a client. You know, I mean, if something goes wrong, your career's over. I mean, it's high stress when, you know, when if you're just bringing the food, if somebody screwed up the order, they just bring it back and go, hey, they need it. I'm sorry. They asked for steamed rice and not fried. And you just take it back.
I know how it is. I delivered pizza for 3.5 years, but you will get tired of people.
Can I tell you guys something funny?
Oh, boy.
When my mother-in-law was here, you know, she's a chef. She said, because she saw what the selection was in terms of Chinese food around here. She said, you know, I could open a restaurant here if you two if you two would help. And I said, no fucking way.
You'd have some good Yelp reviews, though.
Well, hold on. I got to tell you if he got the job.
Okay.
They declined. Come on. No, thank you. You want to know why?
Why?
Well, the reason they didn't want is because they said that there are neighborhoods that they deliver in that aren't safe. And they thought that, you know, the liability would be too high for them to have delivery. So instead, they just said, no, thank you.
And they don't
like passing. We're going in another direction. Also, we like to hire people that are willing to eat everything on our menu, not just three items.
Pussies. Yeah. Imagine you go to a Chinese restaurant and Robbie greets you with he's. That's not good. You don't want that.
Hey, what if Robbie were a chef? And they were like, hey, I want this, but can you make that with no onions? He's like, excuse me. You'll eat what I bring you.
God, of all the jobs Robbie would be the worst at, that would probably be one of them. Because he wants to make it the way it's supposed to be made. And if someone wants it different, he wouldn't do it. You're right. He'd be like, no, this is how it's made.
Yeah, Robbie is very, very, what's the word? He's very possessive of that which he creates. He really is.
Yeah, Burger King's saying used to be special orders don't upset us. My saying would be special orders really upset me.
No special orders.
And no special orders. Hey, I did have this idea, Robbie, because we touched on this earlier about, you know, you watching Game of Thrones and seeing Ed Sheeran and it took you out of the scene. Another reference that'll date us, but when watching Miami Vice back in the day and you saw Glenn Frey, your musical hero on the screen, did it take you out of the show?
Yeah, they had guest stars all the time on that show. I wasn't a big Miami Vice guy, but
G. Gordon Liddy used to be on that show.
G. Gordon Liddy wasn't that recognizable back then, but still, you know, it was a cheesy show to begin with. You know, they had guest stars on like every week. So it wasn't like a weird
thing. It was like the Love Boat to Rob. Yeah, right. He wasn't distracted when Mackenzie Phillips showed up. But Robbie did feel very vindicated because he sent us an article that Ed Sheeran took down his Twitter because people kept shitting on him for being.
No. I had heard that he'd already done that, pre that. So I don't think that's accurate.
No, they
just tied that to that because that's how the internet is these days. He'd already.
I'd already heard into taking down his Twitter.
I heard he took it down, then he put up a new one. He had to start all over.
Did he say why he took it down if it wasn't because of the negative?
No, it was negative. It was pre Game of Thrones.
What would you have if you found out that Robbie's tweet was the one that put him over the edge? Robbie was the one that said something about his appearance on Game of Thrones and he said enough.
That would be I'd be proud of Robbie. Because if you're gonna be Robbie, be all the Robbie you can be. I mean, go for it.
You know, they say obviously no publicity is bad publicity, or I'm sorry. Yeah, right. There is no publicity. What's the word? You know,
all publicity is good publicity.
You got it. Right. There you go. Anyway, you understand that if Robbie was the reason that Ed Sheeran deleted his Twitter, I mean, we would be bombarded with hate. We would not be able to recover from the amount of hate that we received for doing that.
I think we'd get some love too, though.
Maybe, but it would just be, I mean, think about this. When I got into an argument with Tom Arnold, nobody gives a fuck about Tom Arnold. I was still bombarded with Tom Arnold fans. You don't even know they exist. Ed Sheeran has real fans.
Well, I think if it caused him to quit music, then we'd be having some real issues.
That's my next goal.
Oh, you don't like Ed Sheeran?
No, I'm just messing around.
So,
as an actor?
Speaking of music. You guys were making fun of me before the show, but before the at the Comedy Factory of the night, you know, before the show started, they, you know, obviously they're playing music, and CJ Burney started playing this Drake song. Now, I don't know the song, but Drake has a pretty recognizable voice, so I knew that it was him, but I liked it, and so I went online on YouTube, iTunes, and I just started playing the preview of his songs until I found the one that it was. But the only version is the explicit. You know, there's a lot of N-words in it. And I bought songs before that I've heard on the radio that I accidentally bought the explicit version. And I don't like it. You know, Robbie, you say that Ed Sheeran took you out of the show. It takes me out of the song.
That's the real version of the song. You understand? You're hearing something that you're hearing a version that he had to water down in order for it to be consumed by a younger audience. You like what wasn't intended.
Well, yeah, like I like F you better than, or forget you better than fuck you by
you do?
CeeLo. Yes.
Wow. You're the only person.
No, it's just. It seems a bit much.
You and Graham's wife are the only people that prefer that version.
I don't know. I think it's too much. I mean, look, I curse a lot in my act, and I obviously, you know, have no problem throwing around curse words. But it does seem like it's a bit much. But you think that I'm wrong? I mean, I think that's stupid.
Well, I mean,
I'm not comfortable hearing the N-word 1,000 times while I'm sitting in my car. It just doesn't seem right.
That's that you're not saying it. Somebody else is saying it to you. You know, they are intending for you to hear it, and they're the people who are either offended or not offended by it. Not you.
Offended. I just don't like it.
So if you were listening to NWA Straight Outta Compton, you'd listen to an edited version of that?
That's the point of the name of the group has the N-word in it. I mean, the N-word is just the word dude. That's the same thing. These dudes, these N-words. It doesn't have any, it's just the way that people say that word. They describe a group of people or a guy or a girl.
It reminds me of that scene in Office Space when Michael Bolton is listening to that gangster rap in his car and he starts turning it down as the black people approach.
Yeah, I seem like a real douchey, dorky white guy that's listening to rap music and the N-word is being said. It just doesn't.
Well, you're not somebody who's trying to be hip, like, look at me, look how irreverent I am and what I'm willing to listen to. If you hear a song that you like and that happens to be what's in it, it's not like you're seeking it out to give some sort of impression. You like what you like. But again, it's not really my place to tell you what you should and shouldn't be okay with. If you're not okay with it, you're not. I really don't have a problem with it. But I will say that you aren't listening to the song that he wrote. You're listening to the bastardization of it. You are. You're listening to the watered-down version of it so it can be played in other places. You're not listening to the song he created.
Okay, but the word is not being used in any way. It's just the word that is used in place of saying these motherfuckers, which cursing.
I can't really tell you. Listen, if you're not okay with it, you're not. I'm not being critical of it. It's not like, you know, you're saying anything horrible. All I'm saying to you is that the song that Drake wrote is not the song you're listening to.
I'm fine with that. But now there's not. They used to have a clean version of pretty much every song, and now they don't. Maybe that's just a deep cut.
That's because is radio as important as it used to be? Aren't they downloads now? Isn't that?
No, but I don't think it's a good thing that it's considered commonplace for a song just littered with curse words.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I think about, you know, I've never been upset about, you know, like, well, they can say it. Why can't we? I'm not talking about curse words. I'm talking about the N-word. But I also like taking the power away from such a negative word. So it doesn't really bother me. I'm never bothered by any of it. I choose not to use it. But if somebody from the black race decides they want to use it, good. Good for them. They can use it. It doesn't. I don't feel one way or the other about it.
Okay. No, I hear you. But like, I mean, there's people, black people that hear that word. I mean, that are 50 and up. It's not crazy to think that takes them to a place that they don't want to go to.
I can't believe that Drake doesn't have any 50 and up fans.
Well, no, it's not that. You'll hear there'll be some car going through, pulling up to a 7-Eleven with that blasting. It just seems like it's not hard to imagine that some black person hears that's 60, that was like, you know, their father heard that every day. Now that makes them think of that. It just seems like it just seems like it's wrong.
I hear what you're saying, but I also feel strongly about it's not my place to tell other people what they should and shouldn't be offended by. If that's a problem, then those people are the people that are offended by it are the people that need to speak up. You know what I mean? I'm not saying there's anything bad about you being a champion of it, but it just doesn't feel
offended.
Like it's your
place. It just makes me uncomfortable.
All right. Well, then don't listen.
No, I'm not. I didn't download the song. I want a clean version, Drake. But I don't know if this is me getting older. Or is
What's
this
the
me
name
being...
of the song?
The name of the song is 0 to 100.
Robbie, do you mind getting the that song, downloading it, and beeping out all the N-words so Rob can listen to it?
Sure, can I'll you do that for me?
I'll do that.
Thank you. Can you add it on to the end of the episode?
Don't know about that.
Giving you more work. I will be at the Carlisle Room. It's in Bethesda this Friday. Potential murder mystery venue, Joe, actually. I'm going to be scouting that out for us. So check that out, robmayer.com. And of course, coming up next week, I'll be at AMP, a former murder mystery place, hopefully a new one, also in the Bethesda Rockville area on the 10th. And then Baltimore County Factory, three shows, one Friday, the 11th, 9 p.m., two, the 12th, the early show, including a dinner package, baltimorecomedy.com.
Yeah.
Sing for Your Life, Katie's debut. It's a big deal. And possibly Robbie singing. We'll let you know for sure next week.
Yeah, go to the Die Laughing Production website and go to the schedule. I think we added not necessarily 12 new venues, but 12 new shows. And there's some shows that I think haven't even made it up there yet. We're really, really busy. So you have plenty of opportunities to come out and see us. And we debut a new show in about 90 days. Our new Halloween show, which obviously we're excited about. We mentioned it 50 times. Yeah. No N-words in any of these shows, by the way.
Well, yet. We are still writing the third act. Anyway, Rob and Joe Show, we will see you next week. The bonus show is up, by the way. So if you're not a patron yet, Patreon, get on it. See ya.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.